Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters. This is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Thomas Ferguson, a professor of political science at the University of Massachusetts, Boston, and a senior fellow of the Roosevelt Institute. He is a member of the advisory board for George Soros' Institute for New Economic Thinking, a contributing editor for The Nation, and the author of Golden Rule, The Investment Theory of Part Competition and the Logic of Money-Driven Political Systems. Welcome to Background Briefing, Thomas Ferguson.
Hi there.
And the president yesterday made a fairly fiery speech where he tied Romney, who now appears pretty much the new standard bearer for the Republican presidency, tied him as much as he could to Ryan and Ryan's budget. And today Mitt Romney sort of struck back and tried to he didn't repudiate what the president said. But he tried to sort of deflect it by saying the president came here yesterday and railed against arguments no one is making and criticizing policies no one is proposing. That is not the case, obviously. But the president did make a pretty stinging remark yesterday, which was that the Ryan budget makes Gingrich's contract with America look like the New Deal. So, you know,
it's proof that somebody finally in the Obama administration can write a funny line. it stands out precisely for that. These folks have not, despite all the noise about how Obama makes great speeches, in fact, they haven't been powerful or persuasive now for actually literally many years.
Well, a couple of other things that he said that did make the headlines, or at least they're out there in terms of buzzwords. He referred to the Ryan budget as a sort of cruel social Darwinism that would impose a radical vision on the country. Do you think that the country understands that or could be persuaded? And nobody's going to read the damn thing, but it sounds like most of the consensus is that it's fraudulent, it's not realistic, there's no revenue raising.
Yeah, the Center for Budget and Policy Priorities had put out an admirable little two-graph thing which suggests that like 62% of the cuts in the Ryan budget come from low-income programs. You know, you just got to ask. I think people can sort of get that. I can't believe I'm saying this, Ian, and I, you know, may yet look ridiculous, but I actually think that the Republicans are overreaching, and they're sort of overplaying a bad hand to the point that, I have to say, I'm not trying to make an excuse for the Obama administration. If you ask me, these guys, in normal circumstances, would not deserve re-election. I think they've been, you know, that terrible. They had no reason to step up the war in Afghanistan, but they did it. They did the half-size fiscal stimulus. They were way too friendly to the banks, et cetera. But, you know, the Republicans have come on so outrageously, so just super centered on the, in effect, the 1%, if I may adopt that vocabulary, that the Democrats are in the end going to look, I think, better for most folks than that. It's not the world's greatest set of choices, but you know, I think it's going to be a pretty clear one. I've been doing a little research on the sort of what's going on in the Republican primary, and I have to tell you, you know, the striking thing about that. Even yesterday, I understand that the press is doing its best to anoint Romney, and I agree he's going to win it. I've said that I was on record on that for 6 weeks ago or so, you know, in print, that all his cash would finally just beat down his opponents. But even yesterday, he did not do that well. You know, he only got about 49% of the vote in Maryland, and he didn't do much better than Santorum in Wisconsin. It's a really pathetic and weak performance. And I actually think, I've been looking at the data here. I'm about to publish this in Aldernet. with my colleague Walter Dean Burnham, probably the greatest voting analyst in the United States for many years. I mean, what you got here is you can see a huge disparity in the Republicans in the states, in rich states. Romney seems to do pretty well. He does poorly in poor states, and you know, he gets the rich in all those states. There's always the income disparity. This is somewhat disguised by a very troubling fact. The New York Times, in its hard copy, is actually ceasing to report the income breakdowns in the Republican primary. They did it again today. I can hardly believe they do that. That is just you know, I used to be the assistant, the guy that took the New York Times poll for ages. I was his assistant in Princeton. I mean, he knew how to do polls. That type of presentation, I think, would not have been acceptable 15 or 20 years ago. You know, you need to present the income breakdowns when you, in any poll you're running. And it wasn't there this morning in my copy of the Times. So you don't see the sort of lopsided... you hear all this stuff about Tea Party likes or dislikes and things like that, but you don't see the income breakdowns there. And they're lopped. Romney is clearly winning on the super affluent votes in the Republican Party, and he's losing even that party's base. I think he's going to be a very weak candidate in the fall. I have thought all along, because of the president's vulnerability on the economic issues, that he'd be... it's looking to me like Romney is just so obviously allied with the 1%. I mean, the guy, just the ham-handed way they say it over and over again, I think this is really going to hurt him.
So, Thomas Ferguson, do you think the Republican Party is so much in the pocket of the 1% that they don't, they're not worried about this, or they don't recognize it? I mean,
if you look at the way people, even, you know, guys like Rubio and, Pataki, when you look at their endorsements of Romney, they go way out of their way to say, well, he's not that strong a candidate. And, you know, well, they thought other people would enter, but, you know, and so they're all coming around. No, I think they're taking, this guy is the lesser of a set of evils, frankly, even to many Republicans. I think people can see the death's head here, which is why I'm not quite totally persuaded that Romney has the nomination sewed up. Not because he's not going to be way ahead in delegates, and I expect him to win most of the major primaries and stuff, but I have a feeling he's going to look like a loser very definitively as they go into that. And, that may yet make people think about the switch in time.
Republicans are so hungry to win, and they hate Obama in a very disturbing and irrational way. It seems to me they're just going to rally around whoever it is and just go for broke.
I think it will be hard in the matchups. I mean, as polls, right now you don't see the Gallup matchups and others sort of dominating the headlines. As we go toward the Republican convention, you'll see those will become more prominent. And, you know, right now Romney's behind in just about every state that matters. And of course, the thing, just as a comment on your lead in there, on the Ryan budget, it was, of course, not Obama, as you know. I mean, I understand this. It was Romney who sort of first more or less endorsed the Ryan budget as he kind of backhandedly endorsed the Right to Work campaign in Wisconsin, the Republican Wisconsin governor there was pushing. I mean, this guy's gone out of his way to sort of take extreme positions. And, you know, the Etch-a-Sketch business works up to a point. But I think he may now be treading, even I, who have generally thought that you could get away with almost anything in American politics, I think Romney is now sort of walking out toward the pillars of Hercules of the American electoral imagination. He may be out there in places where folks haven't tried to go, and he may not return.
So here he is embracing the Ryan budget, which he refers to as marvelous, Romney, and apparently Ryan makes his congressional staff read Ayn Rand, and so he apparently is quite a disciple of Ayn Rand's bizarre ideas. But the budget, the thing that the president seized on, and I imagine he's going to be able to use this in the election, is that millionaires all get $150,000 back. That's their average annual tax cut.
Tax cut.
Yeah.
Tax cut for the super rich.
Yeah, but the way the president referred to this giant, yet another tax cut for the rich. He said the president said the $150,000 that the millionaires will get back from the Ryan budget in terms of a tax cut would represent a year's worth of prescription drugs coverage for a senior citizen, a new school computer lab, new school computer lab, plus a year of medical care for a returning veteran, plus a medical research grant for chronic disease, plus a year's salary for a firefighter or a police officer, plus a tax credit to make a year of college more affordable, plus a year's worth of financial aid. So in framing it in that way, I think maybe that might get the attention of the average American as much as they pay attention.
No, I think so too. Look, I've always thought that a Democratic president, if he or she would choose to make the case, could blow the Republicans away. You know, my point about money in politics and sort of my investment approach is, unfortunately, these guys get attached to the cash and they won't do it. But now Obama's job is, you know, he could join the unemployed if he weren't careful. I think he will certainly, it looks to me like they will sort of run a sharp enough campaign that they will pick up on enough differences. I think the Republicans have real trouble with this, you know, because no matter how many times all the newspapers, especially, go out of their way to try to make you think the opposite, the fact is the bulk of the population really doesn't want Medicare or Social Security touched. They do not want giant tax breaks for the rich. They want taxes to rise. That's a powerful political sentiment out there. You know, we saw how powerful it was last year when a sort of Occupy Wall Street business surfaced. And you know, we have, you know, it's just it's still pretty early in the spring. I think we may yet see more sort of protest bubbling up. I mean, life here is becoming kind of unlivable. And there is it's a little crazy because, I mean, you know, if, for example, the U.S. got involved in a war with Iran, that would destroy the U.S. budget. It would just absolutely devastate it. And the whole thing would be, I mean, and you got all kinds of stuff up in the air, sort of like soap bubbles or something, that the bulk of the media is afraid to puncture, won't even touch, or keeps telling you it doesn't matter or the facts are just the other. I think the population is really unhappy. The real conclusion you should draw from the Republican primaries, you know, is that Romney has trouble even now winning, you know, 50% of the Republican vote. If Obama had a Democratic challenger that was, you know, reasonably plausible, I don't doubt that he'd be having trouble. You really have an angry population here, and I think that people are way underestimating how much dislike there is for both parties.
Well, I agree that Tom Ferguson, there's an angry population populace out there, and I think on the Republican side they're angry and they're taking out their venom on Obama, you know, being a Muslim and with a fake birth certificate and all that stuff. On the Democratic side, if you will, and this ties into your book, Golden Rule, The Investment Theory of Part Competition and the Logic of Money-Driven Political Systems, is that there's a wide and widening gap that's been widening over the decades between the Democratic voters and the Democratic politicians and the Democratic establishment.
Absolutely.
I mean,
absolutely.
Bill Clinton wooed the Wall Street and moved, and we know that Capitol Hill is all about money. There, yeah. Whether you're a Democrat or a Republican, all you do spend all day is raising money from lobbyists and having fundraisers. And so as long as and that's why it explains why both Clinton's and
two money-driven parties.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't miss the message in the Republican Party, which is that a huge chunk of the base disdains their own nominee. I mean, I am quite struck yesterday. I mean, I'm looking at incomplete returns, so somebody could finally. But I don't think in either Maryland or Wisconsin, Romney quite got over 50%. He got real close when I last looked in Maryland. But, I mean, this is like moving through mud to this nomination. I know he said to have it in bag, and I think he's got it in the bag, though, as I say. He may look so weak limping into that thing that folks may actually want to start thinking about changing him. But the Republican Party base clearly disdains Romney, and though I know the press says overwhelmingly it's the evangelical religion business, it's plainly social class, too. There is very plainly in the Republican base an economic basis of folks there. I actually think that's one of the big stories in this campaign. It's I think the conditions that you got a Republican Party together are disappearing because, frankly, the population that was sort of had been incorporated there, especially the evangelical chunk, they weren't rich. They're now hurting badly, and it's not obvious that you can repair all those jobs out there, and that stuff counts too. About God.
Well, but do you think Obama could reverse this growing fissure between the Democratic voters and the Democratic Party establishment, the politicians and the establishment who have courted Wall Street and big money and lobbyists to stay abreast of the Republicans? That explains the disconnect between the policies and programs that the Democrats get through the Congress and yep. the wishes of the people. The people know, you know, these people are not responding to their base. Yep. So what if Obama were to turn on the bankers, who, by the way, have turned on him, and
careful, I know people say that. I don't think an analysis of the Democratic National Committee funding will fully support that.
Uh huh. Well then, he's
produced the numbers, but I will. One has to be extremely careful here. I heard this all through 2009 and 10 when I went back and did the numbers. What I discovered was, you know, at least on the investment banking side of it, the Democrats were still out ahead of the Republicans. Mm. Commercial banking was a different story. I hear you, but, you know, and I'd say it's just amazing, right, that it's like history gives Obama a second chance. I think, however, that, you know, they're pretty firmly money-oriented up there. I think they will not take advantage of it, but they don't have to take much advantage of it, I think, to blow Romney away.
I see. So you don't think it'll even be necessary for him to move in a more populist direction?
I think that looks, you know, off the bat. Look, you know, when the Republicans move like they have, you know, almost don't have to say anything except I'm not a Republican and hope everybody won't notice.
I see. Well, I thank you for joining us here today, Thomas Ferguson.
Yep. It's a pleasure. Have a good one.
You too. Again, I've been speaking with Thomas Ferguson, a professor of political science at the University of Massachusetts, Boston, and a senior fellow at the Roosevelt Institute. He's a member of the advisory board of George Soros' Institute for New Economic Thinking, a contributing editor to The Nation, and the author of Golden Rule, The Investment Theory of Part Competition and the Logic of Money-Driven Political Systems. We're going to take a brief station break, and we'll be back talking with James Quirk about his new book, White House Burning.